world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Soon after I said that, I started getting some tweets from some of you saying, you just said cotton-picking president of the United States.
The fact is an incredibly divisive figure. And no amount of him wrapping himself in a flag.
Soon after I said that, I started getting some tweets from some of you saying, you just said cotton-picking president of the United
States. This is an existing facility. It's existed for almost 40 years.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass to find it. A casino at Gettysburg. Say it ain't so. No, it's actually going to... Okay. Well, I guess if they're going to put it there, I might as well go there. Plus, Facebook tries to trademark the word face, and Rick Sanchez uses... he says a poor choice of words while discussing the president. 877-876-PHIL. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard also with me this hour. I had a question. I did an interview with a guy who does a website or a blog, Bud. He asked, how, you know, where did I find you, you know?
Yeah.
And I told him, I found you in Ventura, you know, after you put your head through that oak tree.
Yeah, but on 33.
Right. And I took pity on you. And you've been with me since the beginning, man.
Yeah, long time. Sir, well, where did you begin?
I began in 1990 in Ventura.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
Oh, okay. And Robert, you know, I met you through your Aunt Mavis about 10 years ago. Anyways, very interesting interview with this cat who does this blog. Maybe we'll link it on a website or someplace once it comes out. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and our website is philhendryshow.com. And we do have a brand new classic Phil podcast for you, as we have brand new podcasts every day, downloads of our radio show every single day at iTunes. Check it out. You can also go to our website and get streaming or downloadable versions of just about every show that we've got, and our archives are being made that way as we speak. So join us at philhendryshow.com. We're also on Twitter at philhendryshow. Let's see, we're at twitter.com/realphilhendry. I guess I'm going to have to get verified over there, too, you know?
Yeah, what is that whole verified, man? I got a big... Like what, a purple check or something?
It's a blue check they give you. You know, you people at Twitter, just like everything else, you do things with your head up your rear end. Here I am, a guy. If ever there was a guy who gets people wanting to be him, or the number of different characters that we have on our show, it's me. But I can't get verified unless I send DNA samples. Meanwhile, you're verifying people like who? I mean, who was that one we were talking about?
Yeah, like Sanjay Gupta.
Sanjay Gupta? Who is... Well, yeah, there's a million of those guys out there. Is that it? Make sure that this is the Sanjay... This is the real Sanjay Gupta and not a different Sanjay Gupta. Come on. Anyway, we're on Twitter and also the Phil Hendry Show Twitter account. That's twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. Our staff-maintained Twitter account. And we have Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry. It's just a friends page. It's not a fan page. It's not a I like this page or a group or any of that other horse dung that Facebook does that is getting more and more irritating as the days go by. And I really can't wait, to be perfectly honest with you, to get myself off of Facebook eventually, because it's, you know, it's a very bothersome website.
What don't you like about it?
I don't know, man. It seems pointless, you know. First of all, there's a story. Did you see the story about narcissists, the Facebook narcissist? And, well, yes, I people that are on Facebook all the time are narcissists. Except for me, I use it as a promotion for my radio show.
Yeah, but what's the difference?
The difference is what I do for a living, I got to have something on Facebook, you know?
Yeah, but anybody say that, they got business.
You got a business? Anybody say that?
Well, I do. If you got a business... You know, like...
What business... Okay, so let's say that I am selling vacuum cleaners door-to-door. So if I have a Facebook account, in other words, that means that...
Well, yeah, it makes sense. If you have a Facebook account, you can tell people, I'm going to be coming to your house tomorrow to sell vacuum cleaner.
All right, well, then if that's true, then the article that everyone who is on Facebook is pretty much a narcissist is horse dung. If the guy that wrote that article took that into consideration, I guess he'd come to the conclusion you guys have come to and that I'm rapidly agreeing with you on.
See?
Yeah, okay. That's true. I mean, Facebook is very good for helping promote business. Far better than Twitter, where you get all of those jackballs with want to increase your tweets, or whatever. What's that one thing?
No, I'm telling the city, like, get 100 more followers. You know.
Yeah, that's it. Get 100 more followers and do this, that, or something else. What I decided to do over on Twitter is I got rid of all of my individual, all the individual people that I was following. You understand what I'm saying?
Nah. But you mean like, but you're following like John Cleese and stuff.
Yeah, I got rid of that. What do I give a crap about? I mean, I care about John Cleese. Very funny. I don't care what he's saying on Twitter. I got rid of him and all of that jazz. Al Pacino, I was following him. Al Pacino hasn't tweeted since, Al Pacino may be dead for all I know. He ain't tweeted since 10 years ago, before they had Twitter. So I got rid of all of those. And the only things that I got now that I follow are, other than Rance and Johnny Bean and his wife and a few select people, you know, the rest are like companies, broadcasters and stuff like that.
Well, no, you got like CNN, you know.
Yeah, CNN and jazz like that. Okay. So I got rid of everything else. And the reason why I do that is I suddenly realized I don't really care what anybody's saying, any individual is saying. I just care what the news is. I care what's going on in the world. I held on to those green wave things, those people that I was, you know, like in Iran.
Yeah. Well, I follow like Jeff Dowder and Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, I follow those two, too, because they're on a show a lot. But other than that, here's a story. Facebook feeds narcissism, says survey. In a rather small survey conducted by a young psychologist, Facebook was shown to have some interesting correlations with self-esteem and narcissism in young adults. In a survey, oh, young adults. Well, maybe I got to go back on what I just said. In a survey of 100 college students, young people with narcissistic personality traits were shown to exhibit Facebook activity that was distinctly more self-promotional. These people had About Me sections that referred to their intelligence and photos that were more about displaying the user's physical attractiveness than about capturing memories with friends. Narcissism is defined in the survey by a researcher at York University in Toronto, Canada, as a pervasive pattern of grandiosity, need for admiration, and an exaggerated sense of self-importance.
I don't know, Danny, that means, or anything, that's pretty big words and stuff.
Yeah, that's not like psychology, right?
Are you guys crazy? All they're saying is a narcissist is someone who thinks their you-know-what doesn't smell. How about that?
Oh, okay.
For the average narcissist, Facebook offers a gateway for hundreds of shallow relationships and emotionally detached communication. All right, okay, I guess that's true. But what I'm saying is, when he's talking about young people, I guess those are the only ones that you can't really identify as people in business who are promoting business. And there's a lot of people who do promote business in some sense or a relationship. But yeah, I get it. There's a lot of warped mothers out there, man. Anyway, meanwhile, the study says social media is for narcissists, and it's just a marvelous thing. I was going to talk about Gettysburg here, but I got off on Facebook. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So we'll wrap it up, and we'll go to a break, and then we'll get into what's the next building that they're going to be putting on something that we thought was hallowed ground, but maybe it isn't. Okay. Paris Hilton, by the way, was arrested for possession of cocaine. That's a shock. That is... And also, President Obama takes on the birthers. You know something, Mr. President? I don't know why you're even talking about it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Never too old, yeah! Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, well, just to take a moment away from the ground zero, which, by the way, I've changed my mind about that mosque. I have.
What do you mean you've changed? You still don't want to have it.
No, I've got a different mindset.
You couldn't.
No, I'm not.
Nah, you're doing like satire now.
Yeah, you're doing satire.
I'm not doing satire. I believe that if they've got a legal right and there is nothing compelling in the law that can keep them from having that mosque there, I think that what we should do as Americans is say this. This is what we ought to say.
You're kidding me, man. You're always against it and everything.
Hold on. This is what we should say. This is what Phil Hendry will say, and if anybody else, because I see what's happening here. The more we protest, the more the ball keeps rolling in the direction of, see, Americans are racist, Americans are intolerant, Americans are racist, Americans are intolerant, Americans are racist, Americans don't care. America's a fascist state. America's a, you know, that same. I think what we should do is say the following thing. You want to know something? We're Americans, and we've done nothing but show consideration to people. And our law, we respect that. So you can have your mosque, even though you basically spit in our face. I mean, that's really what it is. Even though we will always remember this. You got your mosque here because you decided to go ahead and spit into the eye of some people, a lot of people, who felt it was better that it not be here, who thought that even though there's no compelling legal argument, even though we really don't have the law on our side, and you do, we thought maybe you, Mr. Mosque Builder, Mr. Whatever the hell your name is, Mr. Jackass that 3 weeks after 9/11 said that the 9/11 was American-made, and all of those other marvelous things you said that we're supposed to sit and swallow. Tell you what, go ahead and have your mosque. And we'll remember who the sensitive ones were and who the insensitive ones were. We'll remember who the people were that respected the law and the traditions of our country and who are the people that were just taking advantage of them. And believe me when I tell you, if there's another terror attack on our soil, I'm sure your place is going to be real popular.
Name is Faisal Reef.
Yeah.
Faisal Reef?
Yeah.
What? Who's that?
That's the guy that has the mosque. Faisal Reef was that a reef or?
Faisal Reef. You mean Ralph?
Yeah, I think it's R-A-U-F.
Yeah.
Faisal, was that the name of a reef?
Well, I don't know if they named him after a reef.
The only reef I ever heard of was Donovan's Reef. That was a John Wayne movie.
Yeah. No, it's Ralph and not Reef. Well, I heard of another reef like the Barrier Reef.
Well, yeah. But that wouldn't be Imam Barrier Reef.
What are you doing, bud?
I'm just saying.
There's no Imam Barrier Reef. It says Imam Faisal Ralph. That's the guy's name. And that cat is the guy that's putting that mosque up. And he's obviously hell-bent. And as long as we resist it, he and others can say, look at the insensitive. I heard the lady and I heard the protest. It's not about sensitivity. It's about our rights. It's about our rights. That is the most selfish. You talk about narcissism. You talk about self-consumed, self-absorbed, not an ounce of camaraderie, not an ounce of citizenship. There isn't any community spirit there, not at all. That woman is a walking joke. That woman they quoted in that we had her audio on the show on Friday when she kept saying, it's not about sensitivity. This is about our rights. It's about our rights. It's about our rights. And I remember thinking, oh my God, you know, you are hammering away at your rights so much that you are taking yourself further and further away from the actual from an actual position that people might respect. You're calling, basically saying your rights trump the feelings of people who perhaps were profoundly traumatized by that incident. Other Americans we know are slobs. We get that. When Americans talk to each other about issues, we generally come off as slobs. We have very little respect in the discussion and the dissent in this country, but it is a discussion taking place between Americans. Now, when I got to hear from somebody just landed from a sandbar someplace who wants to have their and no, that's not racist, and no, it's not insensitive. It's good old fashioned American humor. When somebody just landed from some sand dune.
With one of those Velcro greens.
Velcro green?
Yeah, playing golf.
Oh. And they're yakking about this and that and what they get and what they don't get. I don't have much patience for that. So the mosque is the mosque. Now let's go to cut two. This isn't this is not an outsider so much. This isn't someone who just landed last week from Morocco and is now a citizen. This is a group of good old-fashioned Americans who want to put a casino up within a mile of the historic Gettysburg battlefield. The town where the Civil War's tide-turning battle was waged is fighting dissension in its own ranks, with even hardcore preservationists split over a proposed casino that would rise near the historic battlefield and be named for the line that divided the North and South, the Mason-Dixon Resort and Casino! Anyway, It's the second time in 5 years that Gettysburg has fought over a plan to build a casino. This time it's the Mason-Dixon Resort and Casino proposed on a hotel and conference center site within a mile. 1 mile of the southern boundary of Gettysburg National Military Park. No casino and pro-casino signs, pepper shop windows in the quaint streets of Gettysburg, where more than 1 million tourists shop, dine, or sleep each year. Supporters say the casino plan doesn't tread on hallowed ground and will bring jobs, more tourists, and tax relief to the area, but the potential that a casino will cheapen the wholesome reputation that draws tourists to Gettysburg, where 160,000 Union and Confederate soldiers fought a three-day battle in the summer of 1863, is what worries many. I completely agree. I guess that makes me just really stupid and old-fashioned, huh? I mean, can't we draw a line someplace?
Yeah, the Mason-Dixon line.
That's funny.
Well, that's what it is. They're drawing a Mason-Dixon line.
Well, they can draw their Mason-Dixon line someplace else, can't they?
It's a mile away. It's not like it's right there.
I don't know, man. I mean, you look at Disney World. Not that Disney World is a landmark. Have you seen that hotel strip they got outside of Disney World?
Yeah, but that's right outside of Disney World, man. They're talking about keeping it a mile away.
That's probably why they got a lot of people who say it's okay.
Well, they do have people who are preservationists and support the Gettysburg battlefield and the sanctity of it, who also support this casino. Barbara Schultz is a Gettysburg native and a casino opponent. She says, quote, "It seems like a lot of people, they just want more business, they want more money to flow into the community at any cost, and that's really upsetting." She owns a bed and breakfast and an art gallery. Casino principals, supporters, and opponents will speak at a public meeting Tuesday with state regulators who are considering the license application to build a casino. Why can't they have more old town jazz? I don't know, man. I just think you got to... The casinos, I get it. But God almighty.
Yeah, but I mean, well, Gettysburg, nobody even remembers that anymore, man. I mean...
What, that's not about anybody remembering it. Remembers it? Who remembers being there when Jesus was born?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, probably no one.
Well, 2,000 years, do you think there's anybody left?
No, there's no one left.
All right. Then why don't we just put a casino near the manger there in Bethlehem?
I don't know what the laws are in the West Bank or wherever that is.
But do you understand the point that I'm making here, okay? I'm saying suppose that Jesus was born in America, okay?
Huh?
Never mind. I'm just saying there's some places, and I would think in America, there's very few places. Well, what do you think? Let's say Gettysburg, Mount Rushmore, I don't know, you know, the Capitol Mall, all that jazz there, Lincoln Memorial and Jefferson Memorial. Okay, bang, that's done. What other places do you think are sacred?
Well, you said Disneyland, right?
What do you mean Disneyland?
Disneyland not a place in America. I mean, it is, but it's not like, they would not made them, it's not a battlefield.
Doesn't have to be a battlefield to be sacred.
Disneyland ain't sacred, you jackass. That's a privately owned company.
Yeah, but it's sacred.
It ain't sacred. I'm talking about where cats died. Stuff that America, you know, represents America.
The kid got squished. You don't know about the kid that got squished on the monorail.
Will you forget about the monorail? The Alamo. There's another one. The Alamo.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean now.
Oh, well, thank you.
What about, I was trying to think of the Barrier Reef.
The Barrier Reef is in Australia. Why do you think of the Barrier Reef?
Because we were talking about it.
It's not, no, we weren't talking about it. You didn't know how to read that guy's name, the Barrier Reef. So you got the Alamo, you got the, what do you call it, where their kissers are, up on the rock?
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. Everything in Washington, all that jazz, the White House, everything. You got Gettysburg, okay? I don't know, man. What about Valley Forge or something? They still got that?
Yeah, they probably got Valley Forge.
How about where JFK was assassinated? I mean, I don't know if you start preserving. Ford's Theater, that's important. Ford's Theater, that's where Lincoln was assassinated. Probably where JFK was assassinated.
Yeah, but what about McKinley, where he was assassinated?
That's Buffalo. They're going to preserve Buffalo, right?
Yeah, they're going to preserve Buffalo, okay.
Well, then we don't have to worry about that. But
I'm talking about the site where... Are you talking about where McKinley was assassinated? I don't know. It was in Buffalo, New York, but I don't...
Yeah, but he's right. Buffalo ain't going nowhere.
Well, it ain't about preserving Buffalo. It's about preserving the spot where he got shot, which was at some national exhibition, I think. I don't know.
Where was it?
At some national exhibition. It was at some fair.
Is it where Buffalo Bills play?
Where the Buffalo Bills play? I doubt it.
Well,
you know, so we could think about it. Well, let me get more into this story when we come back, because I got some audio to play for you, because this is really important stuff. A casino near Gettysburg, I guess if it's a mile away, you know, I'd like to go there someday, man. I've never been to Gettysburg. I'd like to go there and not see a casino. But if I do see a casino, I'd like to walk into it and just drop the whole place for $10,000 and then leave. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. If we have time, I think we should. Seven insane homeowners association rules, and President Obama takes on the birthers. That birther thing, it's too bad that a collection of brain dead people have been able to hijack an entire portion of the country's time and effort talking about where Obama was born. If ever there was, I'm not one of these guys that screams racism. There's a lot of people that can't stand it. They just, don't you dare play the race card now. Everybody's claiming racism now. And I would agree to an extent, but I've seen enough of this world, and I've seen enough in my lifetime, and I've heard enough over this birther so-called controversy. I can smell racism a mile off on that thing. You can't tell me. And no one will ever be able to convince me that it doesn't have something to do with racism, because, first of all, I don't know of any other president that ever had, quote-unquote, his past, quote, vetted or discussed, or the need to vet his past discussed as much as this president. I don't ever remember anybody making an issue out of McCain's, for instance, birth in the Panama Canal Zone until very, very late in the process. I don't remember anybody making an issue, frankly, out of any other president and his qualification to be president of the United States, or any other candidate for the presidency and his qualifications to be president of the United States before Obama. I've never heard anybody talking about, I mean, for instance, it doesn't even have to be a controversy. It can simply be, is the guy an American citizen? Gee, I don't know. Have we ever asked that question? Did we ever ask that question about Bush? Did we ever ask that question about Clinton? Did we ever ask that question about Reagan? Did we ever ask that question about Carter? Did you ever hear it even remotely brought up? Why, then, was it brought up about Obama? Well, his father was from another country. Not the first guy to run for president with a parent from another country. Bill Richardson is one, and we can name others. But I never heard anybody make an issue out of it with Richardson. That's why I say this is tinged with a racial hue.
What color would that be?
Probably brown.
Yeah, it's a brown hue. I don't know what color it would be.
You said a hue.
Casino proposed near battlefield splits Gettysburg. So let's get back to this, and then we'll move on to our seven homeowners association rules that suck. Now then, here is Richard Kidner. He's the leader of a group advocating for the casino. He talks to Fox and says the casino, it ain't no thing.
This is an existing facility. It's existed for almost 40 years. The part of it that can be that will be a casino is currently a sports complex. It's not visible from the road. It already houses a go-kart track, a pool hall, and a video arcade.
All right, now here is Peter Gatton of the American Legion.
Nobody can deny that Adams County would benefit from a resort. But the other issue is, how do we preserve the sanctity and dignity of the Gettysburg battlefield? We as young children growing up in this country are taught the honor and dignity that our nation has gained through its development. Part of that, the turning point of the growth of our nation, was at Gettysburg. What we need to seek to do is balance those two issues. Let's protect the sanctity and honor of those 51,000 soldiers who have given their life on the battlefield of Gettysburg. Those are an unmarked grave. Let's protect them. Let's protect the heritage and history of this country. But let's also look at alternatives for Adams County to develop economically.
Well, I agree with him, but then I guess that probably goes without saying. And the other thing is, isn't there some place where we draw the line? Don't we say at some point, okay, I know that money's important, but it ain't that important. Isn't that a good lesson to send to the kids? Yes, money's important. I'm telling you, we all love to say this. We all love to say the following thing. You know, money isn't everything. Money can't buy you happiness. Money, and yet when you look around you every day, you see people scrambling against that very thing. Everybody's looking for a dollar. Everybody's looking to make a dollar. Money is a very, very valuable thing. So it's extremely important to a lot of people, to most people, to everyone. Where do we really, really walk the walk when it comes to money? I can't see anything in life. I don't see anything in evidence in public life where we actually do look at the dollar bill and say, not today, there are things more important. I don't know of anything. I don't know of anything where we're not screaming and crying and worrying about money. How much we got? How much we ain't got? When are we going to get it? When did we not have it? When are we going to have it? How much did we have then? When are we going to have tomorrow? Where's my paycheck? Where's my money? Money, 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 money. So here's an idea. How about just in some areas of life we say, oh, well, this is a money-free zone, Jack. Well, what is that? The Gettysburg Battlefield, okay? The Liberty Bell. We came up with a I was talking to the guys during a break. I said, what are some of the places? The Alamo. It's cornball, sure. But these are things that are important to us. Independence Hall. You know, all of the things there in Washington, D.C. Dealey Plaza. Pearl Harbor. How close do you think a casino should be to Pearl Harbor? Go ahead. A mile? Yeah, see, that one gets people because there's a lot of people still alive that remember Pearl Harbor. And, of course, there's those of us who don't even like the idea of a mosque being within shouting distance of Ground Zero. Ground Zero is sacred, is hallowed ground. That is a memorial. The guy that bought the site is renaming it. I haven't heard so much horse dung. I haven't heard so much insensitivity and stupidity around a topic than I have around this the idea of what to do with Ground Zero, what to do with the site of this mass murder, and all of the things around it. I'm listening to people telling me, an American citizen, that I should be more broad-minded and much more sensitive. Well, excuse me, man. I mean, I just saw 3,000 people get immolated on television, and I'm supposed to just take it in stride. How about you taking some stuff in stride, baby? How about you cats that are putting up this mosque? Why don't you take some things in stride? You don't get to have your mosque. How's that feel, huh? Are you man and woman enough to take that one? I guess not. Okay, man, go ahead and lay it on me. We'll take it. You know, but I'm just saying, you can have your mosque, but the next guy that comes along with a mosque or a casino, you see, this debate about Gettysburg, I hope that there is somebody on the pro-mosque side, preferably someone who is Muslim, preferably someone who's Muslim that wasn't born in this country, because you can be a citizen and still have to get to know the culture and the lay of the land. And if you see a bunch of Americans getting equally upset with a casino going in south of Gettysburg as are getting upset with this mosque near Ground Zero, you begin to understand the mindset here. There are some things that we just don't feel are appropriate. Did anybody kill anybody at Gettysburg that had anything to do with casinos? No, but we just think it's a bad kind of a business to have around hollow ground like that. And maybe this mosque, while not being something we should prohibit 100%, maybe there's a time and a place for that too. But getting back to the argument, Pearl Harbor. Why don't we go ahead and put a Ferris wheel up near that?
Yeah, well, you can't do that, though.
What do you mean you can't do that? Yeah, you're right. They wouldn't let me.
No, because there's water there. You can't put a Ferris wheel in water.
Yeah, you think about that.
Shut up. You can put a Ferris... I know there's water there.
How are you going to put a Ferris wheel in water?
The closest place where there's land. Let me tell you something, man. Pearl Harbor is in a harbor, but there's land around there. And what do people like to do where there's water and land? They like to have amusement parks. Beaches, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, but that's like a Navy base and everything.
You know what I'm saying. Put a Ferris wheel up. How about an amusement park near Pearl Harbor? And a lot of other places. So I just think that I think it's a no-brainer. I don't know why people... Can't figure that one out.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, but you can't explain why you can't have a casino 1 mile away, then they won't even be able to see it.
You won't be able to see it, but you'll know it's there. I'll tell you something else, too. There's going to be a lot of traffic. If you got a casino there, people are going to come into town. Now, I'm not saying that there's more than one. I hope that's the only casino, but people will be coming into town, you know, and they'll say, oh, I want to go to the casino, and now there's all kinds of cars and crap. I don't know.
Yeah, the only reason they're coming to town is to see Gettysburg and say, oh, yeah, there's a casino, too. They ain't going to be coming. I want to go up and see the Mason-Dixon Casino. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know what the people around there think. You know, it's kind of a regional thing.
No, they're going to go, I want to go see the Gettysburg Battlefield, and oh, yeah, I think I'll play video poker.
I'm going to go see the, what?
I'm going to go up, and I'm going to see the Gettysburg Battlefield, and oh, yeah, I think I'll play video poker.
Yeah.
I'm going to go up and see the Gettysburg Battlefield, and oh, yeah, I think I'll play video poker.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll say that or not, man, you know. I'm going to go see the Gettysburg Battlefield and play video poker.
No, no, they'll say, I'm going to go see the Gettysburg Battlefield, and oh, yeah, I'm going to...
Well, you forget about the oh, yeah, I understand what you mean. Top 7 Insane Homeowners Association Rules. Number 1, thou shalt not plant too many roses. Rancho Santa Fe, California Homeowners Association targeted Jeffrey DeMarco for exceeding the prescribed number of rose bushes allowed on his 4-acre property. When DeMarco balked, the HOA levied monthly fines, threatening foreclosure, and ultimately defeated Marcos in court. Or DeMarco in court. After a judge ruled that the willful rose enthusiast had violated the community's architecture design rules, DeMarco was forced to pay the HOA's $70,000 legal bill and lost his home to the bank? Number 2, thou shalt not use inconsistent shingles even after a plane destroys thy house. After a plane crashed into the Sanford, Florida home of Joe Woodward, killing his wife, Janice, and his infant son, he decided to rebuild a new home on the same lot, but his reconstruction came to a screeching halt when the HOA informed him that he'd positioned the new structure unacceptably and failed to achieve a perfect shingle match with his neighbor's homes. Threatened with a lawsuit, the grieving widower told a local reporter that he hoped to change things to avoid reliving painful memories, but eventually capitulated to the unsympathetic Jackball Homeowners Association. Number 3. Thou shalt not post a for sale sign. When Denise Hicks placed a for sale sign in front of her Lebanon, Tennessee residence, the Spencer Creek Homeowners Association quickly reprimanded her for a breach of contract, citing a rule prohibiting signs, banners, or billboards. Ultimately, Hicks was forced to display her realtor signs in her home's windows, hidden from view. Number 4. Thou shalt not offer thy homeless granddaughter shelter, assuming guardianship of their 6-year-old granddaughter, Kimberly. After her drug-addicted mother was ruled unfit, Jimmy and Judy Sutler brought the child to live with them in their Clearwater, Florida retirement village. Since Kimberly was not technically, quote, over 55, end quote, or arguably, quote, retired, end quote, the alarmed HOA tried to force the girl out. Attempting to move, the Sutlers failed to sell their home, even after slashing its price from $250,000 to $129,000 and were eventually sued by the HOA. Kimberly's fate is now in the hands of the courts. Do you love that or what? These two people, these grandparents, are so intent on protecting their granddaughter because their daughter, the daughter they raised, is a drug addict, that they'll even sell their house. And is the Homeowners Association giving them a hand? Are they even extending a hand of friendship? No. Wow, man. Number 5, thou must carry thy dog at all times. After Pamela McMahon, a geriatric who walks with a cane, was fined $25 every time she failed to carry her Cocker Spaniel through the lobby of her Long Beach, California condominium, which stipulates the pet's feet must never touch the floor of common areas. There are just too many things going on in the lobby, said Stormy Jack, the building's assistant property manager. The dog might jump on someone or go to the bathroom. After racking up hundreds of dollars in fines, McMahon was forced to move. Number 6, no smoking, even in thy bathroom. HOA's ban on smoking in all public areas, including balconies, patios, courtyards, and swimming pool areas, has recently been extended into residents' homes. Citing the negative health effects of secondhand smoke, multiple court hearings have ruled in favor of HOAs. As Realty Times points out, the Constitution does not guarantee Americans the right to smoke in their homes. And finally, number 7, Thou shalt maintain a consistently green lawn. The Beacon Woods Civic Association in Boynton, Bayonet Point, Florida, took 66-year-old resident Joseph Prudente to court for failing to properly maintain his lawn after a $600 a month increase to his adjustable rate mortgage threw him on hard times. Though Prudente was ultimately jailed for failing to resod his lawn. Jailed? This cat went to jail?
Are you kidding me?
They put you in jail because you didn't do what? The crabgrass?
No, he didn't resod his lawn. Other members of the community took pity on the faulty landscaper and paid for new sod, flowers, mulching, and functioning sprinklers. Their charity was enough to spring the elderly gentleman from the slammer, but Prudente still faces court and association fines. Unreal, my brother. Well, there it is. Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, maybe a little bit. Oh, Rick Sanchez apologizes for saying that Obama's a cotton-picking president. We'll be back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
What? What are you talking about?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Some people may not know about Gettysburg. We're going to get to Rick Sanchez. Rick is he's a lot of fun. And Rick is an example. Before the show in our uncensored feed, I said, you know, you've got Fox News, which is really a success because it's a talk radio station on TV. And it is. It is. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Fox News is a talk radio station on television. They emphasize personality. CNN is a news channel and would do very well as a news channel, except they still think they can do personality. No, you can't. One of the examples of your failure at that, CNN, is Rick. As nice a guy as he is, Rick is a guy who is the closest thing you'll get to someone with an actual opinion, but he can't quite really, he can't give you his real opinion because he's afraid of getting fired. So he pretends like he has an opinion. That's Rick Sanchez. But just as a final capper on the Gettysburg story, Gettysburg was an important battle because it was the Union Army defending the North. The Confederates had come into Pennsylvania, and had they defeated the Union Army at Gettysburg, there's every likelihood they would have descended on Washington, and the war might have come out a different way. So it was a battle to the finish, and it was quite a vicious battle, and it was fought in a variety of ways, and it was fought by a number of different generals, some of whom have gone down in history as great generals, some of whom have gone down in history as real jackasses, and you know the score that day, some 50,000, well, no, at Gettysburg there was, 50,000 men died on both sides. And Matthew Brady, the great photographer who took many photographs in the 1860s, took battlefield photos after. And you can see those online. You can go and look up Matthew Brady's pictures of the Gettysburg battlefield of the dead laying 3 days after the end of the battle in that field. It was it's carnage that you still think of if you see these pictures. So, you know, and Lincoln was pissed off because after Lee had been defeated, this is something most people don't know, General Meade, who was the victorious general that day, did not chase Lee. And Lincoln said, "What the hell are you doing?" And Meade said, "Oh, we're tired. You know, oh, come on, man. You had them and you let them go." As Lincoln said, "We had the enemy in the palm of our hand and we did not close our fist." He wanted Meade not only to kick the Confederates' ass, but then chase them as they were retreating, and he didn't do it. So it's a very, very interesting battle. All right, Rick Sanchez opened his big yap on his show, and he said that Lincoln, not Lincoln, although if Lincoln had been president, Rick would have done this, he called him a cotton-picking president. On his CNN show today, Rick used an unfortunate choice of words while discussing his anger that people are lying about the president, calling him a Muslim, for example. So here's Rick's... Here's Rick on his show.
I'm just sitting here just shaking my head. He is the cotton picking president of the United States. If the president of the United States doesn't have enough of a bully pulpit to convince people of a lie, that a lie is a lie, I should say, then, you know, where are we? What kind of planet are we living on? What the hell is going on here?
So now Rick realizes that he called Obama cotton-picking president, and so you're saying he picks cotton. No, I can assure you I didn't mean that. Well, you're going to get in there and apologize. No, you can't have me apologize, or you're fired. And I got O'Reilly lined up because Beck's got the juice over there. O'Reilly wants another network.
Soon after I said that, I started getting some tweets from some of you saying, you just said cotton-picking president of the United States for about the first black president of the United States. You're not even going to realize it? I was just saying cotton-picking because it's a term that I've used because I grew up in the South. It's a point that's often used to illustrate frustration, show any kind of disrespect. However,
you're racist.
I apologize nonetheless for using it in case it was taken by anyone as an act of disrespect.
I think you meant that he should be out picking cotton, Rick. So, no, I don't. But in any event, that's where that's at, man. And what else have we got here? Is that it? Okay. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Charles Wygand, and our associate producer and screener is Dan Northcraft. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Grab a backstage pass, listen to our archives, get the downloads. Get with it, man. This is the single greatest entertainment value in the history of the Internet, as far as I'm concerned. And we're processing, as a matter of fact, right now, I got to go and process. I got to process, but it ain't got nothing to do with this show.
Yeah. Is there toilet paper?
Yes, there is toilet paper. Later and greater. Thank you.
Phil Hendry. I'm just sitting here.